Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's good, everybody? We live again, man. It's time to be talking about identifying envy in those that are envious. Man, we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to get in a little something on that. Anyway, clear my throat a little bit. How y'all doing? Let me see here. Let's see what we got going on tonight. Yeah, so for the most part, I know a lot of people, you know, have followed me, came over from YouTube, and I appreciate y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in. So we had every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. So let's get into it. I know a lot of cases we've seen where we have people who we may be around that we kind of assume to be, you know, friends or people you can trust or stuff like that. But there's some underlining envy there. There's some jealousy, some envy, some certain stuff like that that you got to be mindful of. And what do these signs look like? Right? So there's certain traits, there's certain things in individuals that give are some key indicators of where their disposition lies when it comes to this. So we're going to jump into it. Number one, the haters. We've all heard of that term, haters. You know, somebody's a hater. They hating on you, and you know, they're jealous or whatnot. And we have to go and pretty much dig beneath the surface to understand, where does hate come from? Where does that term haters come from? Where does a person hating on you come from? And that's coming from a position of lack, right? When we have people who are envious and jealous and hating on you, it's because they feel that you have something that they are lacking. You have something that makes you greater than them, makes you better than them. Now, this is all what's going on in these individuals' minds, right? They're thinking this stuff in their heads, and they're seeing this because they're looking at what you're doing or what you have, and then they are looking at themselves and saying, I wish I had that, or I wish I was able to do that or whatnot. And so from that point, it starts to turn into them disliking. And a lot of times they're not able to identify. It's not really that they dislike you. They don't even know you half of the time sometimes. You know, if they're friends or whatnot, sometimes it's when you are starting to develop and move on to greater heights and different levels in your life, the individual will become envious because it feels like they're being left behind. Not a good feeling, right? So at that point, you get people who start to envy, right? And envy and jealousy has to act upon the individual that they are envious or jealous of, meaning that they have to do something about it. They have to state or make their envy or jealousy known at some sort of point, some point in time. It has to be shown to you that they dislike you, right? They can only fake so long. You know, haters and stuff, they can only fake so long. I mean, because they, you know, it makes them so miserable to have to see you doing what you're doing, right? That they have to act out in a way or do something in a way to disrupt that, to alter that momentum that you got going on. They don't want to see it. They don't want to hear about it. They don't want to see it. It hurts them. Really does. So there they go, hating, right? And envy, and if you think about it, envy and people who are haters, it also causes another particular trait in them causes stalking. A lot of these individuals will stalk, even though they, you know, it comes off, you know, they're envious of you, but they actually admire you at the same time, because what you have is what they want, or what they, you know, they wish they were able to do or whatnot. And so you get them stalking you, keeping track, right? Trying to see what you're up to, trying to see what your moves are. And then they get obsessed with the individual. All while hating. All while, you know, wishing for the worst. You know what I mean? And it's, you know, they're out there, they're doing all that coveting. You know, they're coveting left and right. And it really makes no sense, but this is the position that they've chosen to be and take on in life. And it mainly comes from them not producing what they are capable of, or living in their own purpose. They're too busy people watching and watching other people, right? I did a video on, it was a little while back, on about things that people, normal people do versus people who are not normal. And we look at, for example, another trait of people who are, you know, habitual complainers. You know, those type of people who are constantly complaining, constantly disliking something, they're usually very ungrateful types of people, right? They're always complaining about something. They're always finding something to say, or trying to voice their opinion on something, right, in a negative way. And these are people, again, who are miserable. It's nothing wrong with, because we're all human. If there's something, it might rub us the wrong way, and we might have something to say about it, or we leave it at that. But we don't make it a continuum. We don't make it a constant thing that we're doing anytime we don't like something, or looking for, because that turns into looking for something to be wrong just so that you can complain. Right? And these are this is the making of that hater, envious type of person. And again, what lies deep rooted within them is that they're miserable. And we've all, it's cliche, but we've heard the term misery loves company. It truly does. Misery likes to rub and spread its energy onto other people, bringing them down, disrupting their flow, right? And it's very, one of the things that we have with narcissists is the fact that narcissists have pathological envy. And if we think about it, pathological envy is a strong driving force for them. And when we have envy that is in an individual that is uncontrollable, it makes it to where they can never find pleasure or contentment in anything. And instead of, again, being grateful for what they have, even though it may be little, or it may not be as much as the other person, they're constantly in comparison mode, constantly looking at other people, trying to find flaws in other people or other things to really mask the problems and the issues that's going on with them. Because you see, happy people are people that's satisfied and content. they don't worry about other people's things or what other people have or what other people got going on and versus what they don't. They don't care about that because they know how to play in their own lane, right? It's when an individual gets out of their lane and they get into another position of seeing how someone else is moving, how someone else is operating, and they wish they had that, then they become envious. Then they become stalkers. And ultimately, the term that we're familiar with, a lot of us, is they become haters. From the lack of within them, from what lacks in them, is what makes them envious, haters, right? And I speak on this often because it's important to be able to see that when a person is always having something negative to say, or they're very judgmental, right? Being very judgmental, having a lot of negativity to throw out. Those are signs, those are key signs that, you know, you want to pay attention to. Because you may be, you know, operating amongst a hater. Someone who will pretend like they want to see you do well, they want to see you do good, but all the while envious of everything that you're doing. And you have to, and another reason why it's important to spot this, because a lot of you will go and give your plans away, a lot of your achievements that you may have gotten, you go share it with these individuals, and they can give a rat's ass about that. They'll pretend, oh, that's nice. Oh, wow, how great. But really, on the inside, they're burning up. Because why is it that you're accomplishing so much and getting so much done, and they're telling themselves, but I haven't gotten to where you have gotten. I'm not able to get where the things that you've gotten, at least, and make the moves that you've made. Right? It eats them up. Another reason why, if you see people who are just refusing to be productive or not growing or not trying to grow when they're capable of doing more than what they're doing currently, it'd be advisable not to hang around those individuals, because as you progress, it's going to cause them to be more jealous. It's going to cause their envy to be more pronounced. See, it's cool when you're all on the same level and you're doing the same stuff together. Both, you know, you may not be trying to grow, they're not trying to grow. Cool, they have someone to talk and wallow in misery with. But it's a difference, and it becomes a whole nother ball game when you have found your true purpose and decide to move in that way, in that direction. Whole nother ball game. Now you get accused of, you know, changing up, you know, being different, all these things, right? And all that is just basically saying, you know, wow, you're making something out of yourself, but I'm still here. That makes me feel this big. In other words, makes me feel very little that you're moving on up and doing all these big things and got all this stuff going on. All right? And that is at the point where the individual starts to show themselves, starts to show their true nature. Then many of you will be like, wow, I never knew they were like that. I didn't know that they, you know, I thought they would be happy for me. I thought they would really support. No. Doesn't work that way. Now, for people who are being productive in their, you know, whatever, with their purpose, and they're staying in their lanes and they're happy and content there and they're good, you know, they can support genuinely. They don't have a need to be really envious of you if they're already doing their own thing. Right? So, in a lot of times, people who are the least productive and really have nothing going on for themselves, or don't have peace of mind or content within themselves, those people are the ones you need to avoid like the plague. Straight up and down. You know, and it's easy to see. You just watch how they move. Watch their daily life activities. You know, watch the type of conversations they choose to hold and entertain with you. If it's a bunch of foolish type stuff, stuff that doesn't really have any substance, you know, it's an indicator. If it's stuff that's not, you know, about being progressive, you know, stuff, you know, that's not about, you know, growth or any type of knowledge or development of, you know, the whatever, you know, personal development that, you know, they may be trying to achieve. If it's nothing that has to do with that, or you have to watch that. Because a lot of that, you can tell a lot by a conversation. So conversations are the same. They're real basic, superficial conversations. No real substance to it. It's giving you, a clear, at least, sign as to where these individuals are in their lives and their mentality and their way of thinking. You have to pay attention to that. You know, watching how these, what's their daily routines. You know, another big thing that falls on people that are envious is a lot of their lack of productivity and potential. It comes from laziness, just flat out laziness. They weren't willing to do the work that somebody else was willing to put in to get where they needed to get to. But yet, they want to hate on you, put you down, and, you know, basically start to try to dismantle you or you know, belittle you, etc. You know, envious people are toxic people. Jealous people are, you know, they're toxic as well. Jealousy is part of, you know, if it's unchecked, it can lead into insanity. You know, but it's important for people to understand how to properly deal with envious people. There is no, you know, coexisting with them, especially as long as they're in the position in life or where they are. That's not going to be someone that you want to have around you. You know, you disassociate, period. Miserable people love getting themselves into mischief, you know, into things that are just as unproductive as they are. No growth. You know, I'm going to open up the lines here. See if we get some people in here. Again, the topic tonight is identifying envy in those that are envious. So if you've dealt with or have someone that you're dealing with or may suspect that's envious or jealous of you, you know, I'm going to open up the lines, you know, tell how you feel. You may be dead with it. 786. You're on live. Coming to the 786 prefix.
Hi. Hi, Quinn. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
You want to speak on something tonight about having an encounter or dealing with an envious individual or someone hating on you?
Yeah, I have something on that. Well, so my last encounter with a narcissist a little over a month ago before I left them. So they were very like in the beginning, you know, I was with them for like 5 months, and in the beginning they kind of knew about different things like in my life. Like I had, you know, I'm an artist, so I have kind of my own little collection that they saw and different things. And I noticed like they never really spoke on any of it, you know, like when they saw it, they never really had anything to say. So it was like, they were like kind of purposely withholding saying anything, you know? So it's kind of like, to me, it was just kind of a way of like, not only showing that they were like envious, like, oh, well, you know, if I can't have it or I can't do that, like it doesn't mean anything. And it's kind of also a way, I think, to like invalidate you as like a human being.
Absolutely.
And like invalidate your talents and make you just another way to kind of make you feel worthless. And another thing is he also knew that, you know, I'm, well, I probably shouldn't have even told him this because I didn't know him that well at the time, but I told him I had, you know, been around a lot of narcissists and basically survived them. And so, like, he didn't have really anything to say on that either, which should have been a red flag. And he knew I also spoke out about it and make some, like, videos and that I watch videos on it, too. Like, he knew that I, you know, watch your channel, I watch other channels. And in, like, a lot of ways, he was, I don't know about envious of that, but just kind of jealous, like, oh, I'm trying to get out there and help other people and, you know, talk to friends and spread, like, information and watch these channels and get educated. And all he had to say about it was, well, you know, people, they want to make money. And I was like, really? I was like, it's just another way to be invalidating and envious that, you know, people are out there trying to do something. And then there they sit, like, just being lazy and not wanting to try. And then just, like, tearing everyone down and being jealous of them trying to go out there and succeed and change and grow when they're just, like, sitting there just stewing in, like, their hatred and envy of other people that they can't get over no matter what.
Right. The interesting thing that you mentioned about the invalidation, you know, invalidating you, where they can very well speak at least on and acknowledge the things that they know that you're doing well or that you have done, but they will hold that back and not say anything. They won't tell you how good of a job or whatnot because it triggers their own insecurities of not having anything going on. So it's like the more that they're complimenting you about something, the more that they're going to have to take a look at themselves and ask themselves, like, but what am I doing? You know what I mean? I need to have my stuff together and I don't. And so if they were to do that, it would come off as though that, you know, it would eventually force you to ask the question yourself, is like, what am I doing with them as well, right? You're going to have to eventually come to that conclusion, like, what am I doing with them? And I have all this going on, they don't have anything going on, so they have to almost downplay it. It's a necessity to downplay what your accomplishments are and what you're doing so that it doesn't show them up, so that it doesn't make them look even worse than the situation that they're already in. They don't want to be shown up like that. So of course you'll get a compliment here and there. Now in the beginning, yeah, you'll get them all the time, you know, with narcissistic individuals, but as they see, that, you know, time's going on and you're steadily producing and they're not putting out anything, it's going to be pretty evident and obvious at that point as to who's what and who's doing what and who's not able and who's not doing anything. So invalidation is a definite, it's a necessity, I would say, for narcissists and how they operate. So they're definitely going to.
That's what happened. Yeah, exactly. And on the flip side of that, Quinn, I think they also can use that as an advantage of theirs in the sense, I remember he said something like, well, hey, maybe you can build me one of those websites because he knows I have a travel blog and I work on my website. He's like, why don't you build me one of those and build my own travel blog? I'm like, really? What? So it's kind of like they kind of feed off your talents and try to use them for their own. So.
Right. You know, and it still, though, it starts to show that, you know, they're lacking. Again, as I stated in the beginning of the show, whenever a person is envious, it's because the lack of from them, they're lacking.
Yeah.
You know, and because they're lacking, that's all they can give. They can't give any positivity. They have to give negative stuff. So. Definitely. Well, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, that's another big thing, you know, and the thing about, you know, people who are haters and stuff like that is that the fact that they really are hurting and miserable. You know, when you're, again, when there's peace and contentment within you, you don't even desire to engage in certain activities and certain types of, you know, gossip and stuff unless it's productive, unless it's going to be helping you grow even further than what you are. Or assisting you in whatever you're trying to develop or work on. You don't want to get involved with that because when you start understanding the power of how your energy works, you guard your energy and make sure that it's not just being given or thrown out in any direction. Because it takes some effort to build or get to the type or level of energy that you've gotten to be on that productive, successful level. Right? And a lot of you will notice, you know, as you started getting rid of certain things and individuals or whatever, or habits, it opened up doors to an increase in greater things to come into your life. It's just the way it works. You know, you have to let something go in order to receive something else. So, anyway, I'm going to go back to the line. Got prefix 410. 410?
Hello. Hi.
There you go. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Quinn. How are you?
Doing good. Good to have you calling on the show.
Where are you
calling
I'm
from?
To you. Thank you. I want to say, well, I'm in the DMV area. So,
okay,
oh my God,
okay.
I can't believe I'm talking to you. And I am,
yeah,
I just want to say,
thank you
make
for
my,
calling in tonight.
You're welcome. I'm going to tell you before I say my comment, I can't thank you enough for all that you do for our survivor community. I don't even recall how I stumbled upon your channel, but.
Mm-hmm.
It has been a lifesaver. Like, I could be having a really bad day, feel like I'm slipping. As a matter of fact, today at work, I had to listen to, like, 4 of your videos, like, straight in a row just to kind of get my mind right, like, just to get, you know, it's just you've done a lot, and I'm so grateful. So I just want to – I can't believe I'm personally thanking you, but thank you.
You're most welcome. Absolutely.
Oh,
it's an honor. As I always said, it's an honor to help people and be a part of their help and recovery. So.
Yes. Well, the topic today is really timely. When I look back in hindsight, it's 2020 for real, because I realize, and I'm sure we all have done this at some point in time with our ex-narcs, that we project a lot onto them and ignore red flags and, you know, give the benefit of the doubt. And looking back, it's almost scary to realize all of the signs that were there to show me that this person was extremely envious. And it's kind of crazy because, you know, when you're a partner with someone, you think that, you know, it's for the greater good of the whole. And it's amazing how they work against the very person that they're with, that they could be building with and benefiting, or it could be a mutual beneficial kind of relationship, and all the while it's like envying somebody that is there, you know, that you're supposed to be building with. So I say all that to say, when I think about it and I think of like comments that were made or the lack of effort on their part, how it was just all a lot of words and never any action, it's amazing, and it's disheartening too, because I'm sure there's some people who, you know, are still going through that. I remember, like, I've always gone to school, so I'll go to school and take a course in this, and then I'll want to learn something else, and just constantly growing, like self-development. And one of the things I noticed with envious people, especially like with my ex, never ask, never inquire. Well, how was class? Well, what class are you taking now? Or how is that coming along? You know, just they never want to, they definitely don't want to inquire or show any kind of interest. It's almost like the more you do, the more you try to elevate, the more they really kind of turn a blind eye to it. Like they don't want to see it. They don't even want to recognize it. It could be, you know, just whatever it is, like studying, like I was studying for like my real estate exam a couple years back, and, you know, staying up late at night and making up flashcards. And I'm like, hey, babe, you know, can you quiz me on these vocabulary words? We got a test tomorrow. Nothing. It was like they don't want to contribute to helping you get, you know, grow. But then once you blow up, they want to be part of, you know, and reap the rewards, whether it be monetarily or clout or whatever, but they don't want to assist. And then when I think about it, the lazy part that you were talking about, never wanting to do anything. Like, never, not even like, well, hey, you know, I read this good book, and it really kind of opened my eyes about, you know, various topics or whatever. Never saying, oh, really? You know, never sitting down, not even reading a book, not even wanting to engage in any kind of discourse with any kind of depth. Never speaking or having conversations in depth. So those are some of the things I remember. And envious people are like that, extremely shallow.
Well, here's the thing. Another big thing component to it is that narcissists specifically underestimate their significant others and just people in general. They underestimate them because the narcissist is like they already have the answers. They already know what's what and what's going on. So the thing is they realize the potential you have, but they don't. They think that you're not gonna be able to, you know, follow through with it to completion as they are, and so they kind of like they blow it off. You'll tell them, oh, I'm doing this, and it's like, oh yeah, okay. And it's only because in most cases, a lot of them never finish anything that they started, or you know, they never complete things. And so another thing in that is, you know, once they start seeing you outperforming them, they go into competition mode. They go where they begin to be almost competing against you. Like they're trying to outdo you in something, or they try to find something that they know that they think you may not be aware of or know, and try to outshine you in that, and just deliberately creating these instances of competition amongst the two of you, to where you're not a unit anymore. You know, you have an opposition now. You know, the narcissist becomes your opposition. And that's where, you know, it's all based on that that mindset of envy. And, you know, pathological envy and jealousy is two of the main hallmarks of narcissists.
Yeah.
You know,
it's sick, though. It's just a sick, twisted kind of mindset. And I noticed that since the discard, the major issue now is, you know, I'm going to get a house. I'm going to get a house. Never wanting to be a homeowner before, never wanting to even pull out a toolbox, you know, when we were together. And now it's like, I got to get a house. I got to get a house. And I'm like, is that because I got a house? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I just don't understand that. It's like,
mm-hmm.
we don't.
That's
I'm
part
not
of
in
that competitive nature.
Yes.
That's part of the competitive nature that they have, to where it's like, oh, you got a house? Well, I got to get a house now. I got to show you that I can get a house. And it's like they can't rest unless they're one upping you. That's just the whole thing.
But they don't even have
the
capability to do that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's cool.
Well,
it's
in their minds, they can. They have that magical thinking.
Thank
you know, the narcissist believe that, you know, they can do whatever they want to do. You know, they can get whatever they want to get. And that's part of the magical thinking that they have, and which drives them to operate the way that they operate is through that magical thinking. So, yeah, it's definitely one of the things that puts them in that mode to want to always compete, you know, and it's stirred on because they don't have a definite purpose for their life, right? They're watching and looking at what everyone else has going on. That's why they're more likely to get involved with quick get rich schemes and
stuff
like that, and they're more likely to get conned and scammed in these things because they want to prove so much that they're worthy and worth something, but they're going about it the wrong way completely. They don't want to put the work in. They don't want to put the actual effort in, which leads me back to what I said a little while ago, is that laziness. They're lazy. A lot of them are lazy. Narcissists are lazy. They will scam and cheat their way to the top. They don't want to do anything the fair way. They want to do it the quick way, the way that they can be guaranteed to get over or to get a win without putting in, you know. So,
Well,
thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
Continue to support, and thank you for sharing your story with us as well. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
I know. Yeah. Really interesting. It is an interesting dynamic when you think about it, about how these individuals will go to such lengths to try to prove things when a lot of times, in a lot of cases, a lot of instances, they're not even capable, as the lady was saying, the young lady was saying that came on. They're not in a lot of ways. You know, they're just good at really fooling people. And you're going to notice, because narcissists cannot stay consistent, you know. And again, besides human error, we know that we're not perfect, but, you know, the narcissist, the way that they operate is with reckless abandonment a lot of times. They're just out there just doing stuff, you know, no regard. It's just totally out of control and dangerous sometimes as well, you know. But that type of envy that they have doesn't allow them to rest with someone else having more or being at a certain level when you're around them. That's why it's so easy for them to start hating all of the things that they profess to liking about you in the beginning. That eventually turns into envy and hatred, because they have to witness you getting attention, you getting praise, you getting things done, you having all these accomplishments. And it makes them feel uneasy. It makes them feel like crap. And they can't deal with that. So to take out that emotion that they have, all these emotions that get pent up inside of them, and it has to be released some sort of way. So they take it out by hating, invalidating you, having something negative to say. You know, this is how haters operate. You know, and there's always going to be these type of individuals, just for the simple fact that there's always going to be people who don't want to be or rise to their greatest potential and do the work to actually get there. Right? They don't want to put in the work. So it's a lot easier to hate on someone else than to actually put in that work themselves and make a difference and try to help people out, or try to, be of you know, assistance or to, in any type of capacity that's about development. You know, they don't want to do that. But they want to mind everyone else's business and be involved with what everyone else has going on, just so that they can hate on that. It's kind of like, if you look at it, hating on something is kind of part of their relief. They get to release and get some relief too from hating. It's the way they're able to get some of that, those feelings of despondency and all of that out of them. You know, they have to hate on something because it consumes them. It's constantly like that voice in their ear telling them how they're not about anything, that they're worthless. And so they develop this type of attitude that is very toxic and disruptive. So it's just something to think about and something to be conscious of if you're dealing with people. Once you spot them, and I don't know if it's just me, but they always kind of got that look in their eyes, like it's like you can kind of see the what they call it, the evil eye coming from them when you're telling them about something that's great or that's good. You get that evil eye from them. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but 507, I'm come back to the lines at 507.
Hello?
507. How you doing? You're on live on the ASSC podcast with Quinn, your host. I know many of you already know me, but thought I'd say that anyway.
Hi,
how you doing?
Hi, Quinn. I'm doing all right. As the other person commented, your videos on YouTube have really helped me a lot, and I've listened to them more than once, as that's an understatement.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to extend my thanks as well. Let's see. I have been with the NARC for married for 30 years, and
mm-hmm.
I've been separated for a little over a year. And when you were talking about envy, I was just, God, the stories, you know, that of over the years of the enviousness that this dude is like, it included sabotage and the silent undermining and the evil eye. Got that. I got it the last time I talked to him. He called me a hater, and I was had to, you know, I was thinking my gray rock, and I thought, well, I'm not a hater. I know I'm not a hater. And
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking he's projecting his hate onto me. It was because I was calling him out on behavior. Whenever I would call him out on behavior, I was the hater. But one of the most insidious things that he did when the marriage finally, you know, and when I could no longer stay in denial about, you know, what I was living in, he started using my parenting against me. Now, I was a stay-at-home parent, and I'm very proud of the way I raised my children. They're kind, wonderful human beings. And I knew it was, he knew that he was, you know, skanking around and, you know, doing what narcs do. And so it was like his last ditch thing, you know, to like finish me off, right? I mean, I feel like that's what he was doing, you know. It's like he was getting ready to discard me. And again, you know, because when you're in it for 30 years, you're playing that wheel game many, many times.
Right.
And I felt like that's what he was doing. He was going to try to take the last thing he thought that was that I was proud of, and try to ruin it and take ownership of it, because he was envious that he has failed miserably in his own choices that he's made in his life by his deluded, disordered thinking. Yeah. Okay, so other things envious, I have musical background, and I was taking lessons, and one day he brought a Rottweiler puppy home. It's like out of the clear blue sky, okay? And I couldn't get a babysitter. Nobody wanted to, you know, be around a Rottweiler puppy, dog, you know. So to me, that was sabotaging, envious. He saw that I was getting attention, that I was somewhat accomplished at what I was doing. And I don't know what they do. I think they get fear of something. Frankly, I'm pretty tired of worrying about why he does what he does. You know, I'm in a phase now where I'm trying to think what made me think that was okay to be treated like that? You know, what was it in me that said, I mean, even though it's all, he's a covert narcissist, and, but does that make sense?
The whole thing is one of the other callers said earlier, invalidating you. So, by invalidating you and then sabotaging you is to kind of like allow his prophecy or his projection of what he wants you to be or what he thinks or claims that you are to be true, to be factual. So if I say you're going to be a failure and you're like, no, I got this going on, I'm going to do this and I know what I'm doing, well, for the narcissist, it's like, okay, if you think that, watch this. They go in and they go to sabotage. They deliberately try to mess up or alter the progression or the productivity of whatever you're doing. They deliberately go in and try to mess it up because that way it can still allow them to have that power, that position of power over you. To be able to say, see, when I tell you, I told you you wouldn't be able to do that, and told you you're not this, and I told you you're not that, because they had their hand in dismantling it, right?
It's so sick.
And it is based on, it's based on envy. That's part of their envy, which turns into hatred, you know, and it's all about the way that they're able to do that. It's pretty systematic in how they do it. They watch how you operate. They pay attention to what frustrates you, what would bother you, and they know exactly how to plan their attack at least, or their element of sabotage at least.
It's so insidious. how they do. I mean, I was jogging for a really long time, and then he decided he was going to go jog. Anytime I picked up any type of a hobby, you know, he would try to find some way to, you know, ruin it, you know. That's what he did.
It's pretty consistent with how they are, you know, and that's what haters do. They have nothing else going on for themselves, right? And so, you know, and you know, for everyone that's listening, the best thing that you can do is to ignore them. Obviously, they're going to do their thing and hate all they want, but we have the option and the choice to be able to channel where we want our energy and attention,
right,
which direction we want that to go in. And we need to turn that right back to ourselves, put that energy and attention back into ourselves, and let it go,
right,
as far as going to anyone else. And that'll be, you know, that's the best way to take back your power and to basically, you know, send them on their way. They'll be there doing what they're going to do. Eventually, they'll get tired and die out. You know, the sicker they are, the longer they'll hang around. But, you know, that's just a part of how they operate. So I thank you for calling in tonight. Thank you for the call. Appreciate the tuning in. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I hope you have a wonderful rest of the evening, Quinn.
You too. Folks, we're going to wrap up here. It's been a pleasure again speaking on these topics about these haters and toxic people as we begin to understand and learn that, you know, there's certain people that we have to make sure that we are not engaging with and not dealing with. You know, that is of the utmost importance. So be mindful of the things that you do and who you share it with. And once you even get a glimpse of maybe the feel, you can feel hater energy, even in a handshake or a hug. If you feel it, get away from it. It'll destroy you in the end. If you can't get away from it, try your best to ignore it. All right? Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Until next time, have a good one. Appreciate all of you. Bye now.